A single trumpeter breaks the moment of silence at Montreal's Remembrance Ceremony. That ceremony is still going on, and we will have a special report. I'm Zach Chitra, and you are listening to CJCN News. Here are today's headlines. Quebecers deal with an early snowstorm, Quebec beats out Ontario in a new survey, and could we be heading towards a recession? Let it snow or not, Montreal has been hit by 20 centimeters of snow, an unusual early snowfall. How is the city dealing with it? Sarah Martirana has the story.
The city of Montreal is composed of a total of 10,000 kilometers of streets and sidewalks. Today, all of those streets and sidewalks have been covered in a great deal of snow. Daryl Lim, a local commuter, says that snowfall is making driving to school a lot more complicated.
I had to wake up like half an hour early to scrape the snow off my car and everything. The highways are okay, but the smaller roads are horrible, horrid.
The city has been working to clear the snow since yesterday. Spokesperson for the city of Montreal, Philippe Sabouin, says there is more than 500 snow removal trucks on the road, the maximum amount for an average snowfall. Sabouin says the city was prepared for this snowfall.
I mean, in the last weeks, the mechanics worked very hard in order to get all the equipment available, and that's the case. So we have all the equipment available, we have all the manpower on duty.
Sabouin says the city is focusing on clearing the snow and are waiting for the expected rise in temperature to melt some of the snow before removing snow piles. He says the city has plans to clear all the snow by the end of the day. In the meantime, Sabouin says to watch out for falling branches and electrical wires. For Concordia News, I'm Sarah Martirana.
The snow didn't stop at covering our streets. It also knocked out power for many. The power outages caused schools to close their doors this morning. Deirdre Danovich joins us now with the story. Deirdre, which school boards are affected and how are they handling this shutdown?
Well, it's a widespread distribution, Zach. The Riverside School Board, Sir Wilfrid Laurier, Centre de Service Scolaire de Laval, and EMSB have all announced closures at several schools this morning, many of them without power and heat, leaving parents to juggle work and childcare at the last minute. I spoke with Christopher Craig, chairman of the Riverside School Board. He says their main focus is communication and getting notices out early so families can plan accordingly.
We always use Facebook. We use an SMS text platform called Cobalt, and we push out messages in both those ways to ensure that everybody is aware as quickly as possible.
How many households are affected by these outages this morning?
As of 8 this morning, a total of more than 375,000 households were without power across the province. Despite crews working around the clock, the number has not seen a significant decrease, the largest concentration being in the Lanaudière and Montérégie regions. Smaller pockets of outages are being reported in Montreal, Laval, and parts of Quebec City as well, leaving residents in the cold as crews work to restore electricity.
What's the latest from Hydro-Québec and how long are these outages expected to last?
Well, Hydro-Québec says crews have been working through the night with 800 members on the ground, tackling a huge mess of fallen branches, heavy snow, and damaged power lines. The challenge, they say, isn't just repairing the grid, it's getting to the problem spots. Many of the hardest hit areas are lined with mature trees, and the heavy and wet snow is still clinging to branches, making it tough for crews out there. Sandrix Bouchard, spokesperson for Hydro-Québec, says they are working fast, but it is too early to tell when we can expect to see everyone back on the grid.
One thing I can tell you is that we're hopeful that a lot of clients, a good portion of our clients will have power before the end of the day. But at this very moment, we still have 345,000 clients without power.
We can expect a long cleanup ahead with many students off for the day.
Thank you, Deirdre. The Quebec Advisory Committee on Climate Change released a report this morning with 11 recommendations for the provincial government. The committee recommends that Quebec reach carbon neutrality by 2045. Before that happens, it proposes intermediate net emission reductions, targets of 60% by 2035 and 78% by 2040. It also recommended creating five-year budgets to invest in reducing emissions. The report was made at the request of the Environment Minister. You may be luckier to live in Quebec than you think. Quebec was ranked as one of the best places in the world with the highest levels of well-being, according to a recent study. Charlotte Theofanos has the story.
From life expectancy to environmental issues to gender equality, Quebec is rising to the top, according to the fourth edition of the G15 Plus Quebec Wellbeing Indicators Study. Of the 54 well-being indicators that were examined, Quebec improved on 32 of them in the last few years, doing better than neighboring provinces like Ontario in terms of employment, education, and income inequality. According to economist Moshe Lander, this is largely due to Quebec's high taxes.
Because the marginal tax rates in Quebec are so high that anybody who becomes too rich in terms of income starts to face very steep taxation, and that gets redistributed down to the lower income people, inequality is not at all a surprise.
Though Quebec has been doing well in these areas, it has seen a decline in other elements of well-being, like housing, food security, and mental health. Sociologist Barry Eidlin attributes this to some of the decisions the CAQ has made in recent years, like the cutting of their social housing programs like Accès Logis.
They canceled that program, I forget exactly when, it wasn't too long ago, it might have been 1 or 2 years ago. So they, instead of expanding social housing programs, they have cut them.
When compared to other economies, like Ontario, but also other countries like Finland and New Zealand, Quebec surpasses them all. This difference is especially notable when compared to the United States, where Quebec has a longer life expectancy, more renewable energy sources, less greenhouse gas emissions, and a smaller gender employment gap. For Concordia News, I'm Charlotte Theofanos.
Is a recession closer than we think for Quebec? According to the UN, we are doing better compared to other regions. However, our premier says dark clouds could be ahead. Gabriel Watson has more.
François Legault announced on Monday that Quebec is most likely heading towards a recession caused by U.S. President Donald Trump's tariffs. Legault cited the forest industry's 60,000 jobs as examples of positions that are at risk due to punishing 45% tariffs from the United States. The Legault government insists it's preparing measures to cushion the blow of a potential recession. Financial experts, however, emphasize that Trump's tariffs are not the only factors pushing the province towards a downturn. Immigration didn't help, subventions didn't help, bad investments didn't help, and increases in rent. So everything that increased and Trump's tariffs has had an impact on everybody. Some, however, like Colin Pratt, researcher at the Institut de Recherche et d'Information Socio-Économique, believes that the government is using Trump's tariffs as an scapegoat. You always have to be careful when listening to these predictions, especially when the government wishes to justify cuts to the public sector. Whether this potential recession is driven by Trump's tariffs or deeper weaknesses in Quebec's economy, one thing is clear. The consequences will be felt far as thousands of jobs hang in the balance. For Concordia News, I'm Gabriel Watson.
Quebec Labour Minister Jean Poulet plans to table a law tomorrow that would allow the government to call striking employees back to work. The law was set to be imposed on November 30th. With the new date, he plans to end the STM strikes. The law will also limit who can strike moving forward, with rules for those who deliver essential services. To fast-track the law, the proposal will need support from all three opposition parties. Despite the snowfall, Montrealers are gathering at Place du Canada this morning to mark Remembrance Day. Lucas, it's a solemn day with the snowstorm outside. Is the ceremony being affected?
Well, Zach, a little bit, that's for sure. Organizers were out early shoveling and clearing path around the snowpath. Still, hundreds have gathered despite the weather, many holding poppy sticks on their coats. For many here, the snow was never a question, really. I spoke with one veteran, Michael Bluey, who told me he wouldn't have missed it, no matter the conditions.
Whether it's raining or snowing, I'll be there to pay my respects for those young men and women who served.
Is there anything different happening this year?
Well, Zach, according to the organizing committee and Officer Morgan Olivier, the ceremony usually follows a fairly standard format, but this year's organizer adapted to the growing number of veterans in long-term care by installing a heated tent on Place du Canada.
That's for veterans who are coming from the St. Anne de Bellevue Hospital to ensure that they're comfortable in this kind of weather conditions.
As the number of older veterans declines, could Remembrance Day lose meaning?
Well, not really. Organizers say that the face of Canada's veterans community is evolving, not really disappearing. For more recent Red veterans are taking part, and ceremonies like this ensure younger Canadians continue to understand and honor this service.
Thank you, Luca. Quebec Solidaire's Gabriel Nadeau-Dubois is calling on the provincial government to invest more in hiring school support staff. He's not alone in his calls, as the Federation of Public Service Employees is doing the same. The Federation represents 36,000 school support staff. Recent numbers showed that 52% of support staff experience violence at work. And the Federation says more workers would help with overloaded employees and fatigue, things they say often lead to accidents when there are violent incidents. The Oilers won against the Blue Jackets, the Philadelphia Eagles scored a win over the Green Bay Packers, and the Montreal Roses lose to AFC Toronto. Here's Menno Subramaniam with all your sports.
Reach second opportunity here for Okoronkwo. Bullies their way in, and Okoronkwo has a playoff hat trick. Within 27 minutes, Esther Okoronkwo steals the show.
That was Esther Okoronkwo scoring a winning hat trick for AFC Toronto in the second leg of the NSL semifinal against Montreal Roses. Okoronkwo scored the first goal in the 7th minute and followed it up with two more in the 21st and 27th minutes, helping Toronto end the night with a 4-1 victory over the visiting Montreal team. Tania Boychuk scored the only goal for Montreal. AFC Toronto will go on to face Vancouver this Saturday for the first ever Diane B. Mateson NSL Cup.
Orensky for Charlie Coyle. What a save by Skinner. Coast to coast. Rosslip with a game on his stick. He scores!
Connor McDavid, a former Blue Jacket himself, led Edmonton Oilers to a victory over Columbus Jackets in last night's game. Midway through the game, Oilers' Trent Frederick and Blue Jacket Mathieu Olivier got into a squabble that had to be broken off by the refs. At the end of the third regulation period, Edmonton and Columbus were tied at 4-4, and Jack Roslovic scored an overtime goal to carry the Oilers to a 5-4 victory.
He had 43 yards all night. He gets 41 there, the longest play of the game on either side. Shoulder, pump fake, end zone. It is caught for the touchdown, Devontae Smith.
That touchdown from Philly's Devontae Smith gave the Eagles an unsurpassable 10-0 lead against Green Bay in Monday Night Football game. The Packers' only touchdown was scored by Josh Jacob with about 6 minutes left in the game. The Eagles ended the night with a 10-7 victory. In more football news, this time on the Canadian side of the border, there is still a bit of a will he or won't he situation with Olivet's quarterback Alexander is still dealing with a hamstring injury. He says he's undergoing therapy 4 to 5 times a day to prepare for the Grey Cup against Rough Riders this weekend. That's all for the sports news today.
Thank you, Manoj. How popular are politicians in Canada, more specifically the federal government? A new poll by Léger found that 47% of Canadians trust the government. Just in time for Remembrance Day, the poll also found that 75% of Canadians trust Canada's military. This comes as the federal government announced an increase in Canada's defense spending. The increase in spending puts Canada on track to reach NATO's 2% GDP target. After all the snow, it's going to get even messier over the next couple of days. Snow flurries mixed in with rain will be with us through Thursday, with highs hovering around 2 degrees. The sun returns on Friday, but temperatures stick around the freezing point. More snow and rain are in the forecast for Sunday. That's your news to 11:45. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Zach Jutra.